This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Xiaoning and Philip. Okay, so let's turn our attention now to oil prices, which have reached multi-year highs amidst the reopening of many economies and easing of travel restrictions. And some industry experts opine that the global energy crunch could propel oil prices above $100 a barrel. This is something that we haven't seen since 2014.
As the world attempts to move away from fossil fuels and Malaysia's goal of becoming a carbon-neutral nation by as early as 2050, how will these targets impact the oil and gas industry?
So that's the question we're asking TJ Liao, Regional Head of Oil and Gas at Maybank Investment Bank Equity Research. TJ, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Now, in the 12th Malaysia Plan, it outlined Malaysia's path to meet net zero emissions and achieve carbon neutrality by 2050. Overall, how will this impact the national oil and gas company Petronas?
For the Petronas, basically sustainability agenda, I think they have basically set 2050 as their net zero target. I think this is practically aligned with all the oil majors that we witnessed globally. But recently, it also came out with a 2030 no gas flaring, which is basically part of the net zero policy as well. But looking at it, I think most of the energy companies, like Petronas per se, I think they are adapting and adopting all these climate goals into their long-term agenda. I think this is pretty essential in the sense that in terms of CAPEX, they have allocated about 9% of their CAPEX for renewable energy purposes. So there is a plan for them to achieve that sort of a low zero carbon or net zero or carbon neutrality agendas on the longer term.
Now, I want to focus a little bit on oil prices, TJ, because, you know, energy prices overall have been on the tear, but Brent crude, as we speak, is actually up 65% on a year-to-date basis. This morning, it's $83 a barrel. Now, do you think this price surge is sustainable, and what is really driving prices? Is it demand or supply conditions, or maybe a bit of both?
I think to answer your question, it's a little bit of both. I think what we have seen here now is that oil price has recovered significantly from what happened last year. Last year, we had negative WTI in terms of prices. Now, it has shot up to above $80 per barrel. For the past few years, I think it only averaged about $40 to $45. So in a way, I think what we are seeing now is practically demand pushing up post-COVID, more of a revenge consumption. But on the supply side, I think with all these crises that we went through, two major crises for the past 8 years, 2014 and 2020, I think there is a lot of massive, I would say, underinvestments in the oil and gas fields. So that created tightness in terms of supplies coming to the market. And that coupled with the fact that OPEC is not turning on the tap now, unlike in the past, when price is high, I think they are basically moderating their supply so that to keep oil price at a high level now. So to them, if you were to look at that, their policy, I would say their primary aim is to basically have a higher oil price rather than basically flooding the market with a more supply.
So, you know, TJ, I mean, yes, as you say, OPEC Plus maintaining production, but also President Biden planning to open up their SPR, Strategic Petroleum Reserves. So what is the House view with regards to oil when some say analysts can, you know, project that it could hit $100 per barrel by year end?
Yes, I think if you were to look at the oil price, I think nothing is possible for now. I think last year we've seen, like I mentioned earlier on, negative price, and this year it has basically hit above $80. But if you were to look at the US per se, I think like what you rightly pointed out, but if you were to look at the shale players there, I think they are more measured in terms of their supply now. I think they are not going head on when oil price is high. They are basically managing expectation in terms of supply. But if you look at it, $80, I think, is our projection for next year, our in-house call. If we were to go to $100, I wouldn't rule that out if all the situations are aligned, i.e., demand picks up, consumption picks up stronger than expected, and there is basically a supply constraint overall.
Okay, so not ruling it out entirely, and as for now, oil prices are likely to remain at the $80 level. Does the recent oil price surge mean that Petronas has increased their capex for 2022 and beyond?
I think for Petronas, capex, I think they have committed about 40 to 45 billion per year for the next 3 to 5 years for the overall capex. And out of that, about close to 50% of that is dedicated for upstream. 9% is basically for renewable energy. But bear in mind that with higher oil price, cost goes up as well. So in essence, whenever cost goes up, your capex figures do tend to go up as well.
So TJ, who of among the local oil and gas players tend to benefit as a result of this recent price surge? I mean, who's going to see an increase in order book?
Okay, in terms of the oil and gas plays, I think companies that have a strong balance sheet, good growth, as well as some ESG gold pipelines would benefit most. In terms of stock picks, I think Yinson basically fits into the criteria of all these balance sheet earnings as well as ESG. They are in this FPSO space. In this space itself, supply is strong. I mean, supply is tight in a sense that there isn't much capacity for existing operators to take on new jobs because of capacity constraint. But looking at it, Yinson will be the most leveraged to basically capitalize on this surge in terms of oil price or recovery in oil and gas plays. Apart from that, I think we also like names like Hwaseong as well as Balesto. I think they are the service providers that will basically benefit from pipe coating gas plays as well as recovery in terms of trading operations.
All right, TJ, thanks very much for the chat. That was TJ Liao, Regional Head of Oil and Gas at Maybank Investment Bank Equity Research, giving us a take on how the oil and gas landscape could be affected by these new renewable energy targets and carbon neutral targets. Interesting stuff there.
But in the short term, I think you will see an upward trajectory, right, as demand picks up a lot. I think it's very interesting because if you look at the OPEC Plus minutes that came out, many of them actually didn't move the production because they're worried about another rise in COVID cases to crimp demand. But in places like the US, demand is like moving ahead very fast.
Yeah, and probably prices are at the sweet spot, right? So there's no point in increasing production at this current moment. But his top picks are Yinson for TJ Liao, Yinson, Hwaseong and Balesto. He sees those as big winners with the price increase in Brent crude and I think also the increased capex in the region.
That's it for this morning, 9:28. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.